Welcome back to Body Politic. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy, and today we're continuing to talk about work that remains to be done to protect LGBTQ people from prejudice and discrimination to help make sure that everyone can lead fulfilling lives regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. Joining us from Seattle via Zoom is my niece Haley, who has spent time in the Gallatin Valley, and her partner Chess. Chess describes his gender identity as gender fluid or non-binary. Chess, could you please start by telling our listeners what these terms mean?
Sure thing. Gender fluid is under the non-binary trans umbrella, which includes pretty much everything that isn't binary trans. Binary trans being if you're assigned female at birth, but you identify as a man, or if you're assigned male at birth and you identify as a woman, and then non-binary trans covers literally everything else. So gender fluid is when you identify as more than one gender, and it changes depending on the time of day, or you can go weeks being the same gender, you can go seconds being a different gender, things like that. It's very fluid, as the description says.
I usually use he, him, his, although because my understanding is that you feel male much of the time, but not always, and that you're actually okay with they, them, there. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I mostly identify as male most of the time, and then for a bit of time, I also identify as all genders at once.
Okay.
On the gender fluid flag, those are the colors blue and black, and blue being masculine and black being all genders. And then sometimes I'll identify as a woman. It's not very often. It's usually like once a year.
Okay. Okay. Well, you used to be a drag king. So can you tell us a little about how that kind of helped you on your journey to where you are today?
Yes, of course. So I am assigned female at birth, and drag for a time was the only area where I could really be perceived as male in public. I didn't know that I was trans going into it. But as I started to, I didn't know that I was trans going into it, but as a kid in high school and things, trying out for plays and such, I always wanted to play the male roles.
Uh-huh.
And I thought for a time that that was because they were the only people who were, the only characters who were written as people.
Mm.
So I identified with a lot of male characters growing up, but that was also because I'm a child of the 90s and a lot of the female characters we were shown aren't really portrayed as people. They're just kind of two-dimensional, and they're there to be part of the male gaze. And so it took me quite a long time to figure out that I was trans, but drag definitely helped and was probably the most instrumental in that, because I was suddenly in this space where people would say, oh, this is Chisari, he, him, he does such a good job and stuff like that. And I would be wearing a beard or something, or like have heavy sideburns, and people would refer to me with he, him pronouns, and it felt really right and it felt really good. And
it was a very respectful space,
yeah,
in that regard, because even when someone could, I guess this is a hard way to say it, but even if someone could tell the assigned gender at birth under all the makeup,
mm-hmm,
everybody was very respectful with what this person was presenting and how this person wanted to be presented.
Yeah.
And to be in that space was very, even though I personally don't identify as trans, I would have found it very off kilter to be wearing a lace beard and to have someone go, oh, she's up next. And I'd just be like, oh.
Well, Haley, you have also been involved with the drag community and with performance in general, yes?
I have.
And you don't identify as trans, but you are part of the LGBTQ community. You've said you are the B.
I am, yeah. I identify as bisexual. Well, I don't identify as bisexual in terms of that it was a choice so much as one day I sort of woke up and realized that there was a much broader buffet for me than there was for my friends.
Okay. So there are many meanings to the B. Yes. Buffet, perhaps, being one of them. Okay. Well, talk, both of you, a little bit about the difference between gender identity and gender expression.
I'll let you start.
Sure. So gender identity is, and it's how you feel inside. It's an internal identification for how you feel your spirit is presented and what pronouns feel correct to you. And then gender expression is about an outward expression of that. And for example, like Haley dressing up as a drag king, mm-hmm. and wanting he, him pronouns for the night as that character,
right. yeah.
is gender expression, but she doesn't identify as male when she is herself. Mm-hmm. So like trans women doing drag queening, their gender expression and their gender identity are both female, because the difference is when they take the wig off and they take the makeup off, they're still a woman. Mm. And they still are she, her.
I never even heard that expression before. Queening.
Yeah.
yeah.
Queening and kinging.
I'm kinging, and then others would be queening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fascinating. Well, so do you have to have gender dysphoria? I mean, that's what they talk about in, you know, psychology classically. Do you have to have gender dysphoria to be trans?
No.
I don't think so at all. I'm very against that. I think it's a form of gatekeeping within the trans community to assert that someone has to have dysphoria to be trans. I think what you do have to have is trans euphoria, which is joy and something feeling right when you're referred to as a gender that is different from the gender you were assigned at birth.
It's almost like the difference between positive affirmations and negative ones, where it shouldn't be based on the negative of you should be suffering, therefore then you should be granted your quote unquote real gender or your true gender expression. It should actually just be, hey, does this vibe? And if the answer is yes, maybe we should go with it. everything has to be a trial of fire.
I do have a friend who, identifies as female and is assigned male at birth, and she doesn't want to have any surgeries. She doesn't want to go on hormones, but when you talk to her and you talk to this person, like, you can very much tell that this is definitely a woman I'm talking to, but she doesn't feel dysphoria towards her body. She identifies as a woman without breasts and, with a different lower region, and that's fine. Like a lot of people do identify that way. Like, you don't have to have surgery to be trans enough. There's a lot of gatekeeping in the trans community of like, are you trans enough? And I think,
well, you know, the whole idea of surgery, and I know that within the straight community for a long time, like, remember back in the day, and maybe they still do it, like on talk shows and stuff, they say, well, you know, to a trans woman, they might say, like, well, are you really a woman? Have you had the surgery? Which is none of their business. But but within the trans community itself, you know, I have heard, it's only actually very recently that I've heard sort of the terms trans-binary versus trans non-binary or gender fluid. And I've heard that there is some tension within the community. Could you elaborate on that, both of you?
Yes. There is a lot of tension. I think it's a form of othering and kind of picking the side of the oppressors. A lot of binary trans people feel very uncomfortable looking at non-binary people because in their eyes, non-binary people don't pass as whatever gender they're identifying as.
And that's the mark of success, to pass, to make others believe that you are what you're presenting as.
And not just others, but a very specific form of others, which are the people who arguably are in charge of a lot of things like laws and money and housing. And that is the heterosexual cis population of us who have the privilege of getting to these positions of power where they are. So in order to be taken seriously, most times, a lot of people within the trans community really try to play to the cis lens so that they're taken seriously, which is extremely unfortunate and very much a sort of a symptom of having been abused for being gaslit and told that you're not legitimate unless you have these boxes ticked off, you do the surgeries, you get on the hormones, you look like something that I don't have to think too hard about. And that's really a shame. It really is hurtful, and it's been hurtful in the community because then that's created its own divide. There is the sense of, I need to survive, therefore I need to tick these boxes. And there are other people who go, that's just not who I am, and it's not something I'm going to align myself with. I never want to imply that anybody who is trans-binary is somebody who is trying to align themselves completely with the cis heteronormative.
Right.
But the fact that these tensions exist are unfortunate, and some people do take it to that degree. And it's hard to watch discourse like that within the community when we already have such a very strong history of being told we're not who we think we are, and then to be told by people within the community we are not who we think we are is it's troubling. It shakes a lot of foundation and progress and self progress with the individual as well as within the community. There's since the identifying factors of, well, I'm a non-binary trans person, and more people have begun to speak up about their experiences, it's been easier to talk and to start going, okay, I can put down some of my defenses, and some of these people are not the fears and the things I've made up for myself about how I am discredited as a trans person. Maybe I can start to accept these sorts of things about them and me.
Yeah. We are talking with Haley and Chess about gender fluid or non-binary gender identity. I have to say, although I am a lesbian and a feminist and often thought when I was younger, you know, imagined a world where gender didn't define us, the first trans people I met, really for the first decades I knew trans people, they were binary trans people, and that was how I understood it. And when I began to learn about non-binary trans people, I have to say I found it really challenging to begin to use, you know, they, them, their, and think of it that way. And I was shocked and irritated with myself because intellectually I was like, Nania, you of all people should be down with this. And yet the binary was so ingrained in me that it really took some time to think that through. I'm wondering, Chess, were you also sort of inculcated with the binary and had to struggle with that any?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I'm a kid of the 90s, so I grew up with very binary cartoons and, like, girls do this, boys do that.
Pac-Man was yellow without a bow. Girl Pac-Man was yellow with a pink bow. That's how you knew they were a girl.
But I'm also gender fluid, so a lot of times I do identify as binary trans, but it's only for a certain amount of time before I shift into something else. So I am kind of in this weird position where I see from both sides of, like, binary trans people who don't understand non-binary trans people, and then also being non-binary myself. It took me a while to identify that I was non-binary because I thought that meant that you didn't accept the binary, but there's a lot of me that does. I do identify as male, and I present masculine when I do. So it took me a while to realize that being gender fluid is technically a non-binary umbrella, and it took me a while to accept they and them as some pronouns that I could refer to other people as, because it sounds like a plural.
Right.
But
Chess, I know you and Haley both know that Haley's grandmother, my mother, was an English teacher. So that was a stumbling block for a while.
Yes. I started looking into language, and I found that they, them referring to, like, singular they, them is actually an old part of English and is older than plural they, them. And so then that kind of helped me accept it from a very logical point of view that we've actually been using these terms before. And so people who think it's new are incorrect.
Well, I'm very dyslexic. So any of the grammar Granny tried to instill in me didn't stick. So there's a lot of rules and things that I've always had to go, okay, too, because I didn't understand it. But and it's funny because it's sort of applied to the LGBT community as well, where somebody would very kindly take the time to teach me and say, I would like to be referred to as this. And I would go, all right. And it's not that. So the grammar thing, I didn't understand on a technical issue.
Okay.
On the LGBT thing, the grammar thing just taught me to go, okay, it's okay that I don't understand that right now. What's most important is to let this person know that they have been heard and that I want to respect them and their pronouns. And then maybe it'll stick later because I'm a wee bit of a slow learner.
And you can still respect someone without fully understanding their experience.
Yeah.
And Chess, would you say you do that by believing what they tell you about their experience?
Absolutely. Okay. Like, you can't really assume anything about anyone. I have a lot of friends I have at least three friends who are all assigned female at birth, non-binary, femme. Mm-hmm. So what that means is assigned female at birth, and they identify as they, them, as a spirit that is a bit androgynous, and yet their gender expression is feminine. So a lot of people will look at them, see someone assigned female at birth who is presenting feminine, and then assume, ah, that's a woman, she, her. Mm-hmm. And they get misgendered all the time, and they have to correct people all the time. So you can't assume anything about anyone, but that's okay, because as an ally, you can always, like, introduce yourself if you're unsure. You can say, oh, I'm Chess, he, him, when you're meeting someone, or you can say, oh, I'm Nurse Nancy, she, her. And then that kind of lays down the invitation to share their pronouns as well, and also let them know
that's a great way.
You're safe.
You know, because I have always thought of it in terms of, if I was unsure, it's on me, which perhaps it is, to ask the person, what are your gender pronouns? And when I have done that, I've never had a bad experience. I hope the other person hasn't. And it's usually led to a broader discussion about their life experience and how they feel. But I never started out by saying, hi, Dr. Nurse Nancy, she, her. I'm going to keep that in mind. So I want to know, now you guys have been together for a long time. A long time.
Yeah.
How have you, so, you know, Obama said he evolved on the question of same-sex marriage. We've all grown over the last 10 years. How have you all grown and evolved together on these issues?
Well, Haley's been dating me since before I even knew I was trans. So we kind of went from a lesbian couple to a queer trans couple, I guess. Now that I'm on hormones, we're essentially going to pass for straight in public, which is such a weird concept to me. But I guess you can talk about how things have changed for you.
Oh, goodness. I don't think things have... Hold on, there's a siren outside.
That's
now it's
fine.
Such an emergency. I'm about to talk. All right. Oh, goodness. I don't think I've ever changed, really, in terms of, you know, I always felt, before I learned really anything about the trans community, I always felt that whoever was sitting across from me, so long as everything was respectful, that they always deserved respect, no matter what their name was, no matter what their pronoun was, no matter how they looked, if they had inabilities, disabilities, abilities, that sort of a thing. I always just sort of kept that philosophy whenever I was dating you. And I just, you know, every new thing that popped up and every new gender identity or gender question, I just nodded and I said, does it make you happy? And you said, I don't know yet. And I'd go, all right, well, let's brainstorm and workshop and get this until you feel happy. And goodness, I don't know if I've changed so much as I've had the privilege of watching you transform into someone who, when I initially met, wasn't in the greatest place, but someone who has just grown happier since learning more and more about themselves. And I've been able to learn through that, just, I guess, my own sort of, yeah, maybe, I'm sorry. I don't know how to think of this.
I can see you on Zoom, and I could see you just, like, waiting for the right word to come, and it is mm-hmm. complex, but what a loving thing to say.
Sorry, that was a bunch of incoherent ramblings.
Not at all.
You've always been very supportive of me, and, like, when we met, I often felt very empty, because there is a part of me that identifies as female, but it's not often there, and yet I was putting on this mask, and I thought, this is what's expected of me, and I started playing with more masculine gender expression, but I wasn't identifying that way yet, and drag is what helped me identify that mm-hmm. way, but I wasn't being my full self, and so there were these huge chunks of me that felt really empty that Haley couldn't fill, and it wasn't her responsibility to fill. Mm-hmm. But she's been with me and has listened when I've said, I feel this certain way, and I think I'm going to have top surgery. I think I'm going to go on hormones and things like that. And could you call me he, him for a day just to try it out and see if I feel anything? And she's gone along with everything because she respects and loves who I am and understands that she's not losing someone. She's not losing her lesbian relationship. She is watching someone who felt empty start to grow into who they really are.
Well, you know, life is really hard. Why would I endeavor to make it harder for anyone else if they... I'm so yeah. full of good words today. I'm so full of really strong wisdom. Life is very hard, and why would you do anything to discredit someone's experience if they're going down the road and they think they feel this certain way? And as long as it's not hurting anyone, and as long as it's not a clear path to their own self-destruction, why would you create obstructions in front of that person and discredit them and gaslight them? And I suppose you gotta let people be people. They're going to do what they're going to do. And so long as you help them through it in a healthy way, and you keep the person that you love alive, like, what more is there?
That's another thing about, like, keeping alive. A lot of trans people who try to conform to their gender assigned at birth, many of us, I don't know if I can talk about this, but many of us have suicidal thoughts mm-hmm. because you're not able to be your true self, and you are living a lie every single day, and people referring to you with the wrong pronouns hurts every day, and it's like little things hurt every day, and like a lot of times, like, family members hurt you because they think they know what's best for you. Like, for example, I'm not on speaking terms with my father because he keeps trying to tell me that I'm not trans, and he's not accepting me. And my mother, on the other hand, does accept me because she sees her child and understands that she's not losing anyone. She can clearly see that I'm happier. Like, when I started dating Haley and she didn't really know how to take it because I was suddenly a lesbian, she met Haley and saw how good we were together and how happy I was. And she saw that I was much happier than with any of the boys I would bring home. And so she accepted it. I think, like, if you're a parent of a trans kid or you're in a relationship with a trans person, you should pay attention to, are they happier now that they're stepping into this and they're trying it out? And if they are happier and you still don't understand it, you can still respect it, and someday you will understand it as you continue your walk of life with this person. But it's very important that people realize, because a lot of trans people, we get treated like we're the murderer and the victim at the same time. And the thing is, your family members and your loved ones are not losing anybody. They're watching their loved one step into who they really are.
I've been struck in doing interviews recently with trans people in particular, but also cisgender gay people, about this reoccurring theme of hiding or masks and people making deals with themselves. Like, I can do this till I'm 80, and then they turn 40 and they're like, no, I'm only halfway there, I can't do this. Or, you know, mm-hmm. they do it till they're 18 and they're like, I'm not going to make it to 20 if I keep doing this. I cannot imagine a relationship more loving than the one that you two have. And one of the things that I tell Haley that is so true, and it's true for both of you, is that I feel so proud of you all for the way that you live loudly. And you certainly do it around LGBTQ stuff, but you do it in your drag, you do it in art, you do it in your values, you make the world a better place. And I, as an aunt, and I don't know technically if there's a name for the partner of a niece to an aunt, but I'm just really smiling, and you all make me so proud, and I learned so much from you. I truly appreciate you sharing. I think that people listening to this, parents and perhaps trans kids on the radio, will learn from it, and there will be a link that people will be able to use as a resource. Chess and Haley, thank you so much for joining us on Body Politic. Listeners, you can find this show on the first and third Monday of every month at 1 o'clock, and you can find the link online at kgvm.org. I'm not afraid to